Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
Tonight we start a new book, Proverbs. Man, I am so excited about that to start. But before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, truly you are such a good and gracious God, and we just come to you for guidance tonight. We come to you looking for direction in our lives, looking for purpose in our lives, looking, Father, for you in everything that we do, that we might serve you and glorify you in everything we speak, everything we look at, and everything that we say. And Father, tonight we bring these prayer requests before you. First, we pray for those that aren't here with us tonight, the regulars, Joe Oots and the Joe Miscellis, for Mike Rogers, who are all out enjoying the time with their family, all out enjoying your creation, what you have made. And Lord, we would just ask a big blessing on their lives, Lord, that you would touch them and fill them and Father, truly just raise them up and equip them for when they come back, that they're so filled with your Spirit that it just overflows in their lives. And Father, we pray for Ron's son, Zach, who isn't walking with the Lord right now. And we know, Lord, that this world has so many things that distract us. So many lies it tells us that you are fictitious, that you don't work anymore in this world. But we know that Proverbs even tells us that the foolish man says in his heart, there is no God. So, Father, we would just ask that Zach truly get a taste of your presence in his life, that he might have that divine encounter with a person of the Lord, with a girl, with maybe just someone he works with, that is just so overflowing with your Spirit, Father, that he can see there's something different about him. And may Zach start searching for that, what that difference is in his life, and may truly his heart be softened and then filled with your Spirit, your anointing, we pray. We pray with Renee for Cheryl and her need. She has had some, I guess her right knee has had some surgery or something's going wrong with it. And we don't know all the details, Father, but you know the details. And that's the main thing. So we pray for Cheryl. We pray for a complete healing on her physical body. And Father, if not a complete healing right away, we just ask that she be led to the right hospitals and doctors, Father, that will make her physical body right. And Father, may she, through these operations, through these encounters, Father, meet you, and Father, give you the ultimate glory for this healing in her life. Father, we pray for Bree, who has three tumors in her body. And Lord, at this point, we don't know whether or not those tumors are cancerous. We don't know what's going on. She's been going to specialists and neurologists. You know, yeah, you guys know what the name is. God knows what the name is. Neurologist. There we go. There's the word I want. And Father, we know that she's been having these serious headaches that just almost pound on her brain where she can barely sleep. Father, we would first ask for immediate healing on that part of her body. May you take away those headaches. And Father, too, with the tumors, even now we know that nothing is too hard for you. So if it's according to your will, Father, just do the miraculous. Just remove those tumors from her body. And again, Lord, if that isn't part of your divine plan, give her the courage and the strength she needs to face the roads ahead. Help provide the doctors to remove what needs to be removed or drained what needs to be drained. And Father, we just pray with all our heart that these tumors are not cancerous, according again to your will. We pray with Daniel, our brother, as he always prays, for the unborn child, for those that are even those mothers that are even considering abortion. As I think of my own family, I couldn't imagine any of my kids not being with me, my grandkids not being with me because of a poor decision that their parents made. Father, that's something that will burden their lives forever. Father, help them see this unborn child for what it is. It's a living blessing from God, our Creator. So, Father, may you start working in the hearts of those mothers, in the hearts of our country, that we might have these abortions completely overturned, where one day that word will even be stricken from the dictionary, that we won't even know what an abortion is because we see it for what it is, which is murder. Father, do that work in our hearts, in the hearts of the mothers, in the hearts of our country, we pray. Father, we pray for Corey as he is out there preaching the gospel. He's out at the pier or out in Santa Monica or wherever you lead him, Lord. He just prays for protection on his physical life because I guess he's been threatened many a time. Because truly, the unbeliever doesn't know you, doesn't want to know you, because it means that he has to confront the sin in his life. He might have to change something that seems pleasurable at the time and change it up for a new way of life. But Father, we're told that Scripture, through Scripture, that you came to give us life, and life more abundant, much greater than any pleasure that this world could offer. Father, it's in Jesus alone that are found all the treasures of wisdom and understanding. And Father, we just ask that, Father, you protect our brother as he's out there preaching the gospel, that you give him courage and conviction, give him the words he needs to touch lives and save souls in the name of Jesus. We pray too for Nick. Pray for Angelo's dad, Nick, Angelo's dad. There we go. We just pray for his healing of his bladder cancer and the severe pain that he's going through. Father, this word cancer just brings to mind all sorts of horrific pictures. In fact, we can say that the thought of cancer just sometimes terrifies us. I know it does myself, thought of my family members, my friends. And Father, we can only imagine what it's like to have to walk through that. So Father, we just ask that you work on Angelo's physical body. Father, remove that bladder cancer that's in his body. Father, take away immediately the pain. And Father, replace it with comfort and strength and the peace of God that only comes from knowing you. Father, work in Angelo, we pray. And we pray with our brother Anthony for peace. We all want this. Anthony prays for peace, a sound mind, and man, heavenly thoughts. Because we know out there, Lord, that, man, the just the music's turned up of perversion out there. That, Father, no matter where we go, whether it's on a billboard or in a song, there's so much anger out there. There's so much iniquity out there. There's so much that tempts us to be led away from you. And Father, we pray for purity for all of us men. We pray for that peace in our lives, knowing that you are sovereign, Father, no matter where you have us in our lives. Father, give us that peace, knowing that you are in control. You are always on the throne of our lives. We pray for this sound mind that, again, comes from keeping our thoughts, Lord, on you through the study of your word, through the fellowship of the body of Christ, through listening to inspiring worship songs like we're about to do tonight. Father, help us to think of the eternity that we have in heaven that awaits us. Help that drive our motivation, that, Lord, no matter what we're going through, we have an eternity that's guaranteed to spend it with you. And Father, lastly, we pray with our brother Ed for a granddaughter that is in South Carolina who has COVID. We just pray for her healing. Lord, even though a lot of people say, hey, this new COVID is nothing, that's nothing more than a cold. And sure, I've seen that myself, even in through the family. But for some people, Lord, it hits hard. And I'm not sure why the virus hits some people harder than others. But Father, we just pray for healing. We ask that you eradicate this COVID in her body. So Father, this evening we just ask you to be in our presence, be in our midst, be our leader, be our guide. Father, just lead our worship and guide our hearts and prepare us for the coming of your word. We ask in Jesus' strong name. And all God's men said, amen again. Amen. Amen. Evening, brothers. Evening. Again. Couple more prayer requests. Came in last second, under the wire, well, after the wire, but God doesn't care whether we pray for him under the wire or after the wire, we're still going to pray, shall we? So let's one more time go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we just, tonight, there's a couple more prayer requests that you put on a brother's heart. And Lord, we know that there is no wrong time to be praying to you. In fact, we're told to pray without ceasing. So Lord, just help us to always have that heart that whenever you put it on our heart to pray, Father, that's when we pray. Not to wait for it, not to wait for a special condition, but Father, we come to you then. And Father, tonight we come with our brother Mike, who asked for a prayer for Tim Morrell and the family. Father, they don't know you. And we just pray for their salvation, Lord. Salvation seems so simple to us that believe. It's so plain, it's so clear, it makes such sense, and we've seen such transformation in our lives and in our families' lives and in our friends' lives. But to those who don't know you, Lord, it's a strange thing. It's almost like a cult. So Father, we just ask you to soften the hearts of Tim's whole family, that Lord, that they might come to know the creator of the universe and the lover of their souls. Father, may they come to know Jesus and the saving grace that only he can bring into the family. Tonight also, Father, we pray for Pastor Fausto, who's there still in the hospital in an induced coma. Father, still fighting for his life. His kidneys have started to shut down, and it's serious. And so, Father, it's in those times that we lean in hardest to you, when we're most desperate, when we've come to the end of our abilities. Father, we look to you for your will and your guidance. And, Father, whatever you have in our brothers' lives, Father, provide comfort and direction and strength for the family. May this situation, Lord, may people, the doctors and the nurses, Father, come to know you because of this circumstance. And Father, we just ask that you bring Pastor Fausto back to us so we can once again rejoice with him in the Spanish ministry. Father, just bless our study tonight. Bless all of our men. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So tonight, man, Book of Proverbs. I'll tell you, for me, Book of Proverbs is one of my two go-to books. You know, whenever I'm wondering kind of which way God thinks about something, it seems like when I want to see his heart, I go to the Book of Psalms. But when I want direction for my life, I find the Book of Proverbs gives me the wisdom I need to help direct my business, help direct my life and my family. And I'll tell you, you find the answers in God's word that he reveals to us. Amen? Amen. So tonight, Proverbs 1 we'll be going to. But before we go any further, I know we've already prayed and we keep praying. I have it in my notes to pray. Isn't that sad that I have to come to my notes to say, Marty, don't forget to pray about God's word, but let's pray about it. Let's bring this before him. Father, we know that you are the ultimate teacher, that, Father, you are the ultimate guide, the ultimate Sherpa that leads us through this life. Father, we just ask that you give us the words of wisdom that we need as men to live a life that's pleasing in your sight. Father, be our teacher tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, Book of Proverbs. So the Book of Proverbs, along with the Book of Job, Book of Ecclesiastes, Psalms, and the Song of Solomon are all part of the canon of Scripture called the wisdom literature. So, but before we get too bogged down with all this stuff, let's go over some quick background. First thing to remember probably is the theme of Proverbs. Anyone know the theme of Proverbs? Pretty apparent. Wisdom. Very good. It's really apparent as you read it. In fact, wisdom is mentioned 54 times in the book of Proverbs. In fact, the wise are mentioned 69 times in Proverbs for a total of 123 times. We are instructed by Solomon and a few of the other authors to seek wisdom to become a wise man of God. So, exactly what is wisdom, though? And why is it so important to our Christian walk? Well, since the beginning of time, mankind's leaders have always looked to wise men to help guide them, leaders such as generals and presidents and kings. That's so that they can make well-informed decisions. And that's what God's word does for us as men of God. The problem is there's two sometimes conflicting kinds of wisdom. First, you have the wisdom of the world. And secondly, you have God's wisdom. Listen for a moment to some of man's wisdom. Mankind has said this: the truest wisdom is a resolute determination. That was Napoleon Bonaparte. So, guys, does determination give us true wisdom? I think not. I may be determined that the world is flat, but that doesn't make it flat, does it? No, that isn't wisdom. How about this one? The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing. That's Socrates. And Plato's student Aristotle said, knowing yourself, is the beginning of wisdom. Oh, okay, so knowing who I am, yourself, or knowing that I know nothing is wisdom. Huh, that's what the world says. How about these? They call them the 8 pieces of wisdom. I found these online, so it must be true, right? 8 pieces of wisdom that will change your life. Men, are you ready to have your life changed? Yeah. Oh, not this way. Not this way. Number one, 8 pieces of wisdom that the world says will change your life. Words are powerful. Use them wisely. Okay. Yeah. Okay. 2, people come and go, but the right ones stay. Huh. How about number 3? You are doing enough, even if it doesn't feel like it. How about failure is when you don't try? How about 5? Random acts of kindness makes you feel better. Oh, how about this one? This is a real winner. Live for today, not for tomorrow. Number 7, never look back. There's nothing there for you. And lastly, number 8, what the world says is wisdom. Overthinking kills happiness. In other words, don't think about it. If it feels good, man, just do it. Wow. That's all I could say is, wow. That's what the world's view of wisdom is. But did you notice some of the key words there? The pattern in the words? The world's wisdom is about what you feel, about what you think, about what you say, about what you do. In fact, the world's wisdom comes from you. But see, God's wisdom says, the Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. And Jeremiah 10:12 says, it is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom. See, the only true wisdom comes from God. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that is above, that is from above, is first pure, then peaceful and gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. In fact, Scripture teaches us that for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And in our last teaching of Colossians, we see that in him, it is in Jesus, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Therefore, the source of all wisdom is not found in the world. It is not found in how I feel. It is not found on how I think or what I say. But true, pure wisdom comes from God. And the only way we know about his wisdom is what Coach Paul said many, many times. God has to reveal that wisdom to us through his word. But just what is God's wisdom? Well, the word wisdom in Hebrew tells us a whole bunch. Wisdom in Hebrew is chokmah. Let's try saying that, chokmah. H-O-K-M-A, chokmah. Now say it with a little bit of saliva. Chokmah, chokmah. Yeah, now you got it. That's how you say it. It's chokmah. The dictionary defines wisdom as the ability to use knowledge and understanding to make a sound judgment and perform a just action. But see, biblical wisdom, or chokmah, has a much deeper, has a much greater meaning. Just as the word shalom, you know the word shalom means what? Peace. But it's just not peace, is it? It's a peace of God. It's the absence of war in life. It's that peace that passes all understanding, that gets us through any circumstance in our life. And that peace can only come from knowing God. Chokmah has a much deeper meaning than just wisdom. Chokmah describes the skills it took for God to create the world. The skills it takes to play an instrument, cast and carve the implements of worship in the tabernacle, the skills it takes to raise children, run a family. See, Chokmah says that we have to have what's called a listening heart, a heart that's ready and open for teaching. Chokmah tells us to always have the heart of a student, to be ready to learn from God our Father. Biblical wisdom tells us that, therefore, how to live skillfully, to walk before the Lord as we serve Him. Let me say that one more time. Biblical wisdom tells us how to skillfully walk before the Lord as we serve Him. We'll get more into the how that happens in the later teachings of Proverbs. But just a few more details to cover before we get into this. First thing, author of Proverbs. Who knows author? Basically, Solomon. Yeah, there's a few other guys we learn about. Lemuel at the end, chapter 30, 31, and Agur in chapter 30. We'll learn about those guys. There's also some sayings of the wise that are kind of mid that are in question. These might have been collections actually from Solomon that he put together through the years. But basically, Solomon is our primary author. Now, King Solomon ruled from about 971 to 931 BC, and most authors agree that he must have written these almost 800 Proverbs in this book early on in his life. Because do you remember what happened later in his life? He started marrying up all these women. Man, he had a lot of wives. Anyone know how many? 700 wives and 300 concubines. You go, really? This is wisdom? And not only that, man, if these were godly women, man, he'd have a godly life. But they weren't. They were mixed culture. And all these women led him away from the Lord. And so he started creating these altars for them to worship their gods. One of the gods they worshipped was Moloch. And I won't tell you much about him, but man, he sacrificed children on altars and horrible things. I can't imagine how he could allow his wives to do that. So most commentators say that Solomon wrote these Proverbs early on in his life, before he was led away by his wives. Scripture also tells us that Solomon total spoke some 3,000 Proverbs. We have 800 here. And on top of that, 1,005 songs. We see that in 1 Kings chapter 4. In fact, Scripture says that God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart, like the sand on the seashore. Thus, Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men in the East and in the wisdom and all the wisdom of Egypt. So, really, Solomon, he was one of those original wise guys. Yeah, he knew everything about everything. He was anointed by God with wisdom, with Chokmah, so that he could skillfully run and direct God's people. But that doesn't mean he always listened to what God was saying, right? Last thing, what is a proverb? We need to know what a proverb is because, man, there's a lot of them, 800 of them here. The world's definition of a proverb is a simple and insightful traditional saying that expresses a perceived truth based upon common sense or experience. Notice that the world's definition of a proverb is based upon a traditional saying. So if someone in the past said it, man, must be right. It's a perceived truth, not a proven truth. And it is based upon common sense or experience. Here is a more biblical definition of a proverb that we'll be studying. A biblical proverb is a short, timeless truth of God to help instruct the believer in godly living. That's all it is. It's a short, timeless truth of God to help instruct the believer in godly living. Notice how biblical proverbs are based upon a timeless truth of God, not perceived truth. Biblical proverbs have the inspiration of God behind them to help instruct the believer to live a godly life. Proverbs are kind of like these mini parables that Jesus taught to show us in very practical ways, in very memorable ways, how to live a God-pleasing life. Proverbs are short so that we can remember them, because I can't remember anything long. Forever I've tried to memorize Romans 8. I've got part of it, but man, I get away from it for a while. It's gone. Everything I want memorized, it's gone. It's okay. Proverbs are short. They're short so that we can implement them, integrate them into our daily conversations, so that they might become part of our decision-making processes in our businesses, in our family lives. So, without any further ado, Proverbs chapter 1. Here we're coming to it. Tonight we're going to be covering, making two big points. First, we'll be talking about the purpose of Proverbs, and then later covering how we are to apply these Proverbs to our lives. First, the purpose of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Chapter 1, verse 1. These are, as Solomon writes, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And this is the purpose now that Solomon wrote these Proverbs. Look, Solomon continues, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear with increased learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. And here's the key to all of Proverbs. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So Solomon, after identifying himself as the author, lets us know that he has a reason for putting this collection together. He said the reason is so that we might be passing down these proverbs to future generations. And here are the reasons, he says in verse 2. He says, to know wisdom, that is chachma, skill for living, to know wisdom, what skillful living is, and instruction, that's musar in Hebrew. It means to gain moral discipline or correction. And lastly, Solomon writes, to perceive the words of understanding. That is bina in Hebrew. It carries this idea of using discernment every day to make decisions, using God's wisdom to help us make the choices we need to make in life. So in summary then, the purpose of Proverbs is that the reader might, one, gain a skill for living a godly life. Number two, that he might gain the moral discipline to carry out this intent to do it. And number three, that he would acquire the discernment to know whether or not he is making the right choices before God. This is why Solomon is writing down these proverbs for us today, that we might also gain these skills in our daily life. Verse 3, These are the further reasons now Solomon wrote these Proverbs in verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. In verse 3, Solomon expands on this kind of summary statement he just made. Note that he says, we must receive the instruction of wisdom. Not just write it down in our notes. Not just write it here on the corner of our margin of our Bible. We are to receive this instruction. We are to ingest it into our lives. We are to receive this instruction with a strong sense of doing what's right in God's eyes. He says, man, sons, seek justice. Seek fairness in your life's decisions. Much like Micah 6:8 says, and you guys know this one, Micah 6:8, say it with me. He has shown you, O man, what is good. Anybody know that? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? Humility, then, is the key there to walking with God. Godly wisdom, or chokmah, teaches us to keep our hearts open for instruction. Then just walk humbly before your Father. You don't have to be perfect. Just walk humbly before him. Be open to his instruction and guide us, and he will be the one teaching us how to walk. Verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Notice Solomon talks about four focus groups there. Let's look at them. He says the simple, do you see that? The young man, the wise man, and the man of understanding. Here's what Solomon says Proverbs will do for these men. To the simple, or naive man, who feels he is not smart enough. You ever feel like that? Man, I just don't understand this passage, right? To the simple man, or the naive man, or the man that isn't mature, or to the child, he says he's going to give prudence, or the understanding you need to grow and mature in God's family. God's going to provide that. You don't have to work at it and stress over it and think I'm not good enough. No, let God be the one that instructs us and guides us and leads us and tells us how far we're going to go in this area. This simple man will be given godly reasoning concerning all of his daily life. To the young man, he says, who sometimes thinks he knows everything about everything, Have those kids that, man, think they know everything about everything that has ever been made. And since I'm the dad, I'm as dumb as a rock. Yeah, we have those people in our lives that treat us that way, right? Well, to the young man who sometimes thinks he knows everything, you will be given the firsthand knowledge of God, sometimes by making the mistakes that you make. But God will use this knowledge to give that young man, what does it say, discretion. That is, God will instruct you when you keep your mouth shut and when you speak God's truth into others. He says to the wise man, in verse 5, Solomon says, you will continue to grow in godly wisdom. No matter how smart you think you are or wise you get, you will never outgrow God. There's always something to learn from him, new every day. You will hear with your heart and no longer just with your ears. In fact, it seems like Solomon is encouraging all of us today as his men to continue to grow closer to God in his knowledge, in his wisdom, in his understanding, all the days of your life. He says, continue growing and learning. None of us men should ever feel like, man, I've arrived. You know, I'm the godly man. No, we all are children in God's sight. And he all has something to teach us if we'll have the ears to listen. And the last group, the man of understanding, will always, actively stated here, will always actively attain wise counsel. Why? So that he can understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and the riddles. See, the learning and guidance God gives us is that we might be able to receive purpose and direction in our lives, that we might use our wisdom and understanding of God to answer those hard questions people ask us in life, to answer those riddles. Well, why does God do this? Why does he allow bad things happen in the world? Well, we have answers to give people about those things. Solomon wants us to reflect on these proverbs in God's presence, that he might help guide and direct our lives and our families. And in verse 7, like I said, man, this is the whole key to the book of Proverbs. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Before we get into what the fear of the Lord is, first notice the contrast. Go back to verse 5 and look at the ending of verse 7. The contrast reads this way. In 5, it says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. But in 7b, it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We're going to learn a lot about this contrast in the weeks to come, about the wise man and the fool, about Lady Wisdom as she's personified, and the harlot of folly. We're going to learn all about these two invitations from these ladies and which one to take. But tonight, let's just say that there are two invitations given out here. One, to accept the invitation to be a wise man, or second, to walk the path of the fool. That's a choice, brothers, that we have to make every day, not just once in our lives. As we're about to sin, we need to say, do I want to walk the wise path of God? Or do I want to be a fool and play that game again? Do I ever want to start doing drugs again? Do I ever want to walk down that road again? No, I'd be a fool. I've seen that road. I've seen how disastrous it is. I've seen how addicting it is, how consuming it is, how it directs everything you think about during the day. Man, you don't need that in your life. Only the fool would go back down a road that he knows leads to destruction. But God says, it's always your choice. But be a wise man. So back to verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Having now explained the reason Solomon kept record of these proverbs, Solomon now gives us this invitation. He says, let's begin a journey. You guys want to begin a journey of wisdom? He says, we're going to begin this journey of wisdom, and the first thing that you gotta know is a healthy fear of the Lord. That's the beginning. That's kind of that first marker you run through as you're running through on a race. That's the starting line. The healthy fear of the Lord. Now, since men, we don't want to be fools, right? Don't want to be fools. Yeah, okay. Just making sure. We don't want to be fools and despise wisdom and instruction. We must first understand what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord doesn't mean that we should ever be afraid of our Heavenly Father. Just know that no sin is too big for Him to handle. There's no burden that is too heavy for Him to carry. But this does not mean that our Heavenly Father won't discipline His child that's walking astray. He will, though, teach us how to stand strong. He will teach us how to sometimes carry our own burdens. And those can feel heavy, but He will lead us and guide us in those paths of righteousness. God will help us mature, but we should never be afraid to bring our concerns and brokenness to Him. It is there in His presence that, see, we grow and we mature in Him. The fear of the Lord means this. It means to have a great respect for God, your Creator, to revere Him, to honor Him with your words, with your deeds. To fear the Lord means to give Him the proper position in your life, to give Him what we learned in Colossians, preeminence, first place of respect in all things. Here's Solomon's wisdom here. He's saying that if we don't start our journey towards wisdom on the right road, if we're not running on the right track, we're going on the wrong path. We're never going to get to our destination. See, the wrong path of doing it the wrong way can only lead us to pride when I think that I've done it. It only leads us to legalism rather than seeking a closer relationship with God. Solomon gives us this choice: fear God and be wise, or despise wisdom and instruction and, man, be a fool. There is no middle ground. Either we seek God or we seek ultimate destruction. Well, that was the purpose of Proverbs. Turn with me now to chapter 22. I'm going to go to chapter 22, starting in verse 17. And we're going to see quickly in four verses how to apply this to our lives. Chapter 22, verse 17. Chapter 22, verse 17. Everyone there? This is what we are being instructed to do now with this wisdom. This is what's happening. Verse 17. Solomon says, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you?" So, how are we instructed to apply these proverbs to our lives? Verse 17 says to incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply to your heart to my knowledge. Solomon says, come closer. Come here, guys. Listen closely to the words of a wise man. Don't just hear the words. Don't be like my grandkids who are told not to shoot their Nerf guns at Pam's fine Disney figurines that are up there on the shelf. Don't do it. Listen and respond to what I say. Apply those words to your heart. You want to be wise men? Yeah? apply the knowledge and wisdom you learn to your heart. Make it your own. Make it part of you. It kind of reminds me of what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4. He says, "He that have ears, man, let him hear." We all have ears, right? Hear God's word. Listen and respond to God's guidance. And the first reason we should follow godly wisdom, verse 18, Solomon says, number one, first reason we should follow godly wisdom, number one, is for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. So, why is it a pleasant thing if we apply these proverbs to our heart? Well, I came up with a few reasons why keeping proverbs in us is a pleasant thing. Number one, it is a pleasant thing for us because we're making our Heavenly Father smile. When He sees us like a father and He sees His child doing the right thing, man, any parent feels proud. He loves seeing his kids walk in the paths of righteousness. But it's just so rewarding knowing that the actions I desire to take into my heart match that also of what I'm actually doing. Please note that my desires of my heart don't always show the way I lead my life. When it does match, though, hey, it's a very pleasing thing for me, for God, for all of us. Because I know deep in my heart that I please the God today. When I sin and do something I shouldn't be doing, it isn't that I feel like I'm going to be punished or I'm fearful of Him or what's God going to do to me. No, it's that I feel kind of like I disappointed Him. You know, that I didn't live up to what He's called me to do as His son. And I love pleasing the Father. Number two, it's a pleasant thing because we never have to worry about the truth God is teaching us. The world's truth, see, can lead us to destruction, broken relationships, and deep pain in our lives. But God's truth, when we take in His truth and apply it to our lives, apply it to our hearts, man, we can know that this always builds lives. It restores relationships, and it edifies the body of Christ. It builds it up, makes us stronger, more mature, so that we can face the challenges that God has for us ahead of us. Number three, it's also a pleasant thing when we can offer some wise words of wisdom to help a friend, a wife, a son, a daughter, when they're going through tough times. I know as a parent, as a grandparent, it gives me great pleasure to sit down with my kids and not just throw money at it, right? Because some things are money. Don't get me wrong, a broken car, you know, okay. Yeah, you should save up for it and put this aside for later. So when bad things happen, yada, yada. Yeah, they'll hear the lecture from dad, grandpa. But in the same way, there's times where money doesn't fix it. Sometimes they have a broken heart from a relationship. You know, I saw my daughter go through that. Saw my granddaughter now go through that. And they can always be reminded that no matter what happens, they have a God that eternally loves them forever, deeply, more than any man on this earth ever could. And man, those words bring comfort and direction and hope for their lives. And for me, I'll tell you, it gives me great pleasure knowing that God gave me those words to say, that I could do something immediately to help their situation. So it's a pleasant thing. And here's the point that Solomon is making. What we say about wisdom has very little value unless we see that wisdom, though, lived out in our lives. Solomon says it's all about applying that wisdom to our heart. And when we do that, man, it's going to be a pleasant thing. You're going to like it. It isn't like, I don't know, what don't you like? I know my wife doesn't like Brussels sprouts. You know, it isn't like Brussels sprouts that you gag them down. No, I like Brussels sprouts personally, but. Anyway, but it isn't something distasteful. It's something that's going to be pleasant to you, sweet to the taste. You're going to start enjoying that part of your journey towards wisdom. And not only that, finishing off verse 18, let them all be fixed upon your lips so that your trust may be in the Lord. God's words of wisdom and guidance are always to be fixed on our lips. Paul instructs Timothy, young Timothy, to preach the word, as many of you do. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And I'll tell you, that time is now. The world doesn't like it when we call them out on sin, when we say, hey, I'm just telling, don't kill the messenger, but God says you're going to hell. I want you there with me. They need to hear the gospel message. They need the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We're to have those words of life fixed on our lips so that God can use them at his appointed time. Solomon says, let these words of God's truth be fixed upon your lips so that your trust may be in the Lord. See, the more we share God's wisdom, the more we get to see God's word in action. We get the privilege of seeing marriages healed. How many have seen a marriage healed through prayer? I know I sure have. How many have seen lives transformed because of God's saving grace? How many have seen and felt the joy and hope from the people that were once broken? I mean, we were all there. Sharing God's wisdom and seeing God's work applied to our lives strengthens our faith so that our trust, our faith, may be stronger in the Lord. Solomon says in the second half of verse 19 that I have instructed you today, even you. You might sometimes feel like me that, man, how many feel like you're terrible at memorizing scripture? Yeah, anybody there with me? I'm terrible at it. I don't know if it was because of my past, but I'll tell you, I've tried time and time again, and it doesn't seem to stick. Don't get discouraged. Here's what you do. I've got a trick for you. First thing, guys, that finding it hard, don't be too hard on yourself. In other words, don't get discouraged. Just keep plugging away at it. Instead of thinking about memorizing scripture, I want you guys to think of yourselves as a big, thick, juicy steak. Right? Now, there's a lot of ways to make a steak tasty, isn't there? We can season them. We can pound them with a hammer. But you know what I like doing? I like marinating them. Man, you take that sauce and you blend it in and you work it into the meat, right? Then you put it in a sealed container or a bag, right? Yeah, and man, you just let it sit overnight. It gets to be like day-old spaghetti. You guys like day-old spaghetti? Because the sauces, they're better the next day. How about stroganoff? Stroganoff is awesome the next day. Yeah, right? Right? Same way with the steak. You let it marinate. The juices all get together. And it's tastier the next day. So that when you cook it, the flavors of that marinate gets into that steak. So when you cut it, it's like butter. And man, you can just taste that those flavors in your mouth. And this is the idea. We want to marinate in God's word all the time. Let God be the one who decides what you remember and when. Just keep marinating on God's word. It sinks into you. And God will use his word. He'll pull it into your memory when you need to use it. I've seen it time and time again. But the key that I found is helpful for me is marinate. Don't memorize. He says, I've instructed you today, men, even you. Decide today. Yes, I need to marinate more, right? Verse 20. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsel and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you? The last reason Solomon gives us to apply these proverbs to our heart is that we might answer words of truth to those who are sent to us. Solomon says that these proverbs of wisdom, look, he said, are excellent things. They're top grade advice, proven to be truthful when applied by God himself, used to counsel others and guide those students who are on the road to wisdom. And we're all given this wisdom from who? From God. So he says, so you may answer words of truth to those who send to you. Solomon says that if we take the time out of our busy day to marinate in God's word and apply them to our heart, it will be number one, pleasing to you and pleasing to God. Number two, your faith and your trust in the Lord will grow. And number three, you will have godly wisdom, truth, to share with your family, share with your friends, and those places and people that God puts in your path. Godly wisdom is one of the most important things we get from God. But if we refuse, men, to open up that gift or put it somewhere up there on the shelf or just leave it in the corner margins of our Bible, then we're never going to get the pleasure of serving God the way that he has intended us to. May all of us, men, learn to grow in the knowledge and wisdom and the truth of God's word as we slowly marinate on each word that God gives us. Amen? Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we are your sons. We thank you that you have put up with our ill tempers, our rebellious thoughts, and Lord, just continue instructing us in these months to come as we go through Proverbs. Just be our leader, our guide, and Father, just change us from the inside out. That's what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing with me, brothers. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. God bless you, brothers.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.